and the bride, but he is. That's what we're learning tonight. And that he's patient about it, and that makes us think it isn't going to happen. Or it makes us give up. It makes us get discouraged. But I'm trying to show you that the king has got a determination to do this, and therefore it shall happen. And the crown royal to be placed on his head. My Bible talks about us wearing Stephanos, victory crowns. And we feel so unworthy when we get them that we cast them at his feet.
Amen.
Cast them at his feet. He says, this is the greatest honor you could ever give a man. And he thinks it's him. Verse 9. And let his... I know. And remember, he hates Mordecai. He hates all Jews. And if you've read the story up to now, he especially hates Mordecai. In fact, I got to tell you this. He's been at home erecting a gallows in his backyard to hang Mordecai. Haman plans to lynch Mordecai. And now, watch what's about to happen. Hey, listen to that. My enemy's planning to kill me too, y'all. I got an enemy named Satan. He'd love to do it. He'd love to put me on the gallows. But the king's going to honor me with his clothes. He's got gallows made for me, but I'm not going to hang there. Verse 9, and let his apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man whom the king delights honor. You see that? He says, get someone in high authority to put these clothes on him. Have you ever seen a really rich guy like a Beau Brummel, a dandy, you know, and you just stand there and they dress you? Did you see the movie Cat Ballou, for example? When the old gunfighter gets sobered up and he stands there and his little valet is putting everything on him and he just stands there, you know. He says, and let some great prince, some wonderful person, some noble prince dress him and bring him on horseback and throughout the street of the city and proclaim before him. In other words, this guy that dresses him that's noble will lead the horse in front. And here he is. And this guy coming in front announces, behold, one in whom the king delights. How many of you saw Chariots of Fire? You remember at the end when the Christian boy won the Olympics, the 24 Olympics, and they're all carrying him and he looks up in the stands and everyone that's important to him, everyone he loves that's important in his life is in that stand just cheering for him as he receives the wild accolades of everyone there. Don't you see that's what's happening on this horse? He's being led out. Listen to me. Some of you want honor. And you spent your life desiring the praise and honor of men. And you're going all about it wrong. Delight yourself in the things of God. Make no attempt whatsoever to rob God of His honor and His glory, for all honor and all glory belong to God. He is the God of glory. And you set your heart to do that because you are going to be honored. And the only question is how much of it you receive is directly related in proportion to how much of it you're willing to give up now. So that He will be honored and glorified. I'm telling you, listen to me. Y'all, I'm trying to give you a sneak preview. You don't know what your judgment as Christians is going to be like. I'm trying to give you sneak previews of coming attractions. The Father is going to delight to display you. And you're going to be embarrassed about it. Right now, some of you think, oh, golly, I'm living such a Christian exemplary life. I don't deserve people to talk bad of me in town. They just should talk good of me. I'm such a fine, upstanding person. But I'm going to tell you something. When this happens, and it will, Javier, I'm not talking doctrine. I'm talking just facts. Some of you don't even believe this. I don't care. It's going to happen anyway. I'm not telling you this for debate. I'm proclaiming. There'll be no discussion of doctrine afterwards. I'm just telling you what's going to happen, period. Because it is your Heavenly Father's desire to bless, to shower you, and let you bask in His glory. The problem is, don't try to do it too soon. Let Him do it. Let Him initiate it. Let Him instigate it. He'll brag on you so much it'll embarrass you. Thus shall it be done for the man to whom the king delights to honor. Then the king said to Haman, great idea. This is a Floyd Jones version. Wow, far out, super, go, go, go. Look what he says. Then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse and do as thou hast said and do it for Mordecai the Jew. Haman here represents your old accuser, the one that hates you. Satan will be at your judgment and my judgment. He's always accused the brothers and always thought God wasn't fair. And he refused to submit his will to God. And he refused to repent when he sinned. If he'd have repented, God would have forgiven him. How do you know God forgives anybody that repents? It's a basic principle. What would have paid for his sin? Jesus' death on the cross. But you see, he wouldn't repent. God's going to show them Satan, someone like old Zach. Look at that. Looks like nothing. Glorified old hippie. He's going to say, yeah, you look at that boy. You look at him on that white horse. You wouldn't humble yourself, O king of pride. You may have been whipped, but you had your pride. Wouldn't repent. Zach repented. He's a better man than you, and he's on that horse in my clothes. Satan can think, yes, but he sinned, and he did this, and he did that. Shh. Covered by the blood of Jesus. Don't want to hear another word about it. And they took Haman out and hung him on the same gallows. Very shortly thereafter. We're back at Matthew. And we're at verse 11, and it says, the king came in to see the guests, and he saw there a man who did not have on a wedding garment. Now, it's important that you all understand that these garments were furnished by the king to everyone that was invited. The fact that he doesn't have it on means he has rejected the terms of the invitation. He's been invited. There's only one catch. He has to accept a free gift. And now he tries to enter on his own terms rather than to submit to that of the host. He's exactly committing the same sin that Cain committed. There's a simple way. You have to repent and offer up a blood sacrifice. Cain says, no, but I'll offer up the cucumbers. God says the wages of sin is death. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and the cucumbers aren't bleeding, boy. But if you'll repent and do it my way, God told him, you will be forgiven. What you and I are seeing tonight about these garments is exactly what we found in the first story in the Bible, Genesis 3:21. Adam and Eve sinned, and God clothed them with animal skins. The king himself furnished the garments to cover their nakedness. That's what we're seeing. We stand before God naked in our sins. And all our self-righteousness is filthy rags. Only God can cover us. Just like Adam and Eve began glowing, made in the image of God that glows, even so man will glow again. The glory covering will come back. I want you to notice, as we read these next verses, that it's the king's goodness, the king's grace, the king's patience, as he endeavors to and finally does honor his son and thereby bless the people. It's the king's goodness that reveals all the various people's in this story's heart. And so it is tonight in this room. The king's patience, his love, his compassion, his goodness reveals our rebellious natures. Some were just a little rebellious. They wouldn't go. Too busy to accept such a gracious offer. Listen to me. Most of us in this room, if some big socialite here in this city, George Bush, Vice President Bush, if you received a personal invitation to a sumptuous dinner at his home, most of you would, you'd go, and you wouldn't show up in flip-flops. If some big socialite here did, you'd probably want to go in and just see what that place was like. You'd heard about that ballroom. Now, others were more overt rebels. They slew the servants and beat some of them. But the king's goodness is revealing that there are different forms of rebellion. Some are easier to detect than others. Now, if you had been there and seen everyone coming in, you wouldn't have known and noticed probably that this guy was a rebel. Hey, the king sent out, and he came to the wedding supper. Not bad. Seems like a nice guy. But you see, his rebellious nature, the king's goodness of furnishing him a wedding garment, of inviting him when he didn't deserve to be invited, of furnishing him with a wedding garment, making the garment free for him. All he has to do is receive it, accept it,